this one doesn't work. Yeah, mine wasn't working before. It wasn't. Possibly, if it doesn't look like it's coming through, I can just lean in and talk. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so there's only one moving mic. All right, I'll make do with this. I'll just speak loud. Which, you know, is not easy for me. You should have heard me after that. I loved the look on your face, too, when you were like...
Our communications are.
Great job.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, great job.
Good thing.
Great engagement, too.
Oh, it was wonderful. Wow. I mean, it amazed you let it go so long.
Wow, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the second press briefing for the 2019 General Assembly. My name is Chieko Noguchi, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Everyone.
Thank you for joining us for the second press briefing for the 2019 General Assembly. My name is Chieko Noguchi, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs for the U.S. Conference of Catholic
everyone.
Bishops. Thank you for joining us for the second press...
How did that happen? Did someone say, could you repeat that? Or?
Joining me is Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington, who serves as chairman of the USCCB's Committee on Communications, and he'll be introducing our panelists today. Your Excellency?
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Thank you. We had, as you know, a very engaging afternoon on pastoral situations, both from the presentation this morning and this afternoon. And so those who made the presentations are part of our panel today and available for your questions. Earlier today, Bishop Frank Duane, the Bishop of Venice, the chairman on the Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development, spoke to us, concerning our pastoral response and concern and initiatives on gun control, all around the consistent theme of the gospel of life and the dignity of all human persons. This afternoon, Bishop Robert Barron, the Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, the Chairman of the Committee of Evangelization and Catechesis, gave a report on reaching out to those who are religiously unaffiliated, with some important statistics and realities for us to face, but also with some proper responses for us to consider pastorally, presenting it as a challenge, but also as an opportunity. And then we concluded our afternoon session with Archbishop Joseph Nauman, the Archbishop of Kansas City in Kansas, the chairman on the Committee on Pro-Life Activities, with a new initiative that will be called Walking with Moms in Need, a year of service, how we can be accompanying those in crisis pregnancies for the Catholic Church to be there for all mothers in such situations of all faith. And so it was a beautiful presentation that Archbishop Nauman gave, initiative on prayer, service, and a witness to life. So the bishops are available to elaborate on any of their points or to respond to any of your questions.
Thank you, Your Excellency. We'll go ahead and open the floor to questions from members of the press. If you have a question, I would ask that you signal to me and I will call on you. I would also request that the questions asked pertain to the items that were discussed by the Assembly. If you have a question, please raise your hand, and also wait for the microphone to come, so that for the benefit of those who are watching over live stream. Okay, Mark.
Thank you. Mark Patterson from Catholic News Service. My question is for you, Bishop DeWayne. I don't know what the numbers or percentages are, but I would imagine that, given the nature of our country, that there are a fairly substantial percentage of Catholics who are resistant to changes in gun law, gun practices. And my question is, has there been any kind of catechesis that you know of at a diocesan or statewide level that has been able to move the needle and make a substantial difference in the attitude of Catholics on gun policy?
You know, I think today in the presentation, not only speaking of the role of advocacy, but the latter portion was really on what pastoral initiatives could be taken and how might that happen. Anything from lock those guns up to, you know, can't we create a safer environment in terms of where we live, whether that's urban area, someone asked about the rule. I'm not aware of what you refer to. No, I don't have statistics on that. But it was to identify some ways that all of us can proceed in a pastoral way to begin to put that into place, whether that's through state conferences, where there might be some legislation to make it safer, or simply through our parishes, through our schools, universities, whatever it might be, to begin to teach more on how to respond to that curse we have of the use of guns in our society today. So, no, I don't think I have our hard evidence. I think it hasn't just started, but certainly the recent onslaught that we've seen, okay, it's time to respond, and now hopefully we put that into place. You're welcome.
J.D.?
J.D. Flynn, Catholic News Agency. Bishop Barron, my question is for you. I live-tweeted your presentation because I also wanted to gauge what people, young people would say to it who are on social media. And the number one response that I heard, and with varying degrees of charity, had to do with liturgy. And Archbishop Sample's comment especially that we need to rethink what young people think about liturgy, and I had a great many people talking about the extraordinary form and just liturgical reform in general. Maybe you could talk about the role that liturgical reform from the perspective of the reform plays in the kind of evangelization you're talking about, and maybe the extraordinary form and things like that too.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be central to my own thinking. I think bringing beauty to the fore is important, and I think one of the ways you do that is liturgically. I think the Novus Ordo Mass can be done very beautifully indeed. And so, I wouldn't see it as, that's a call to, you know, the extraordinary form. I think that can be done beautifully, too. I have nothing against it particularly, but that wouldn't be a main concern of mine, but rather bringing beauty in its various expressions to the fore, including liturgical. But I have zero hesitation in saying the Novus Ordo Mass can be done very beautifully indeed. And so I would put a stress there.
Heidi?
Heidi Schlum from the National Catholic Reporter. My question is also for you, Bishop Barron, and I appreciated your five-point plan with focusing, you said, first on the importance of justice and leading with that. So I was wondering if you could give some examples from your own experience or from Word on Fire on how you try to emphasize justice.
Well, we've done it a lot with our video, certainly talking about the church's tradition around justice. Dorothy Day's been a hero of mine for a long time. Merton's been a hero of mine. And we've done a lot of videos talking about them. In the Catholicism series, we've got a stress on a number of these figures. I mean, so from a sort of catechetical standpoint, I've tried to bring forward the great figures of the social justice tradition. For years at Mundelein Seminary, I taught a course in the church's social teaching tradition. So it's something kind of close to my heart. So I guess in all those ways, but I've always felt we should catechize with justice very much in the forefront.
Carol?
Hi, Carol Zimmerman with Catholic News Service. This is also for you, Bishop Barron. Your talk this afternoon brought a lot of conversation, more than other topics seem to have. So many questions, so many comments. Did it surprise you the passion that so many bishops feel about this? And also, did you find anything that was brought up that was particularly struck you as something that would be good to follow up on.
No, it didn't surprise me because last June we had the same thing. I gave a presentation that was scheduled to be about 10 minutes long, and I just did a little, you know, quick overview, and then it was followed by about an hour of conversation. And it was the bishops themselves approached me because we were planning to do a lunch event at this meeting. And they said, no, let's have it as part of the General Assembly. So I asked, I'm on the administrative committee as chair of my evangelization committee, so I brought it forward and it was voted in. So I really wasn't surprised. I was delighted today. It was even more, I think, than there was in June. I was struck by a number of things, actually. The point that Archbishop Cordiglione made, I think, is a very important one about the importance of missionary work is good for us. So yes, we are trying to draw people in, but if we can energize our own people, especially young people, to be missionaries, that galvanizes their own faith. I think that's a very important point to stress. There were a number, I was trying to scribble them all down. There was a lot coming my way because our committee wants to look at all that and maybe put them under the five headings. But I was struck by that. I think the missionary appeal is so important.
Enrique?
Enrique Soros with Latin American Bishops Council and Schoenstatt Communicators. You know about my passion regarding pastoral and catechesis. And my question is, how do you think you can reach pastoral ministers, DREs, and catechists to be a testimony of all this great program that you are suggesting, that they are part of the revolution and not DREs are just, you know, officials that are doing things well, yeah, but really passionate with this revolution that you are suggesting?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's got to be borne by people at all those different levels. And our committee, we looked first at this issue of the unaffiliated. And the second great theme we've been looking at is catechist formation. And the point that everyone has stressed is an unevangelized catechist can't evangelize anybody else. And so to get our own catechists on fire with the gospel, that they have a vibrant personal relationship with the Lord, only then can they communicate it. So I agree with you. I mean, we're trying to articulate paths and directions and so on, but finally it's got to be borne by people at all levels of the church's life. And it's the relationship with the Lord himself and your desire to share that relationship. But yeah, it's got to become integrated in the whole life of the church. I quite agree with that. And catechist formation is something I'm really passionate about.
I'm celebrating Mass for all the catechists in my diocese on Saturday, so I thank Bishop Barron for helping me write my homily today. But they need a word of encouragement too, right? Our catechists and directors of religious education, they're aware of the realities that the bishop present today, and they're out there every day trying their best. So I think, you know, just the ongoing formation for them, but also the word of encouragement that God will use those seeds that they're planting in ways that we never know.
Okay. Christine Roussel.
Hi, Christine Roussel, Catholic News Agency. My question's for Bishop DeWayne. Violent crime and gun crime rates have dropped dramatically over the last three decades, and even compared to the early 90s, things are much safer. And there's questionable evidence if gun control laws actually result in fewer gun deaths. So how can society overall change, not necessarily just laws, but to prevent basically more gun crime and suicides?
Okay, there are statistics that might counter the first part you said. Yes, they've come down, but when you have, say, handguns, control on handguns, deaths go down. If there was greater control on these assault weapons, which are, when they are used, and they're used fewer times, but when they're used, the number of deceased are great. However, the second part of your question there, I think we just have to continue to speak out on the issues of life and stand for life. I mean, we believe that, the respect for individuals, to teach dialogue, to teach empathy, so that we begin to see somebody and reach out to help someone. We heard of the mental illness, its impact, but just to reach out when someone is acting very erratic and notify someone, do something about it. So we begin to cut down on that. You don't have that that violent reaction, someone going out there. Why the violence, you know, you quote statistics that it's down, that may be true, but if we look back at the last couple months, we might be surprised, you know, it didn't seem down to anybody. It seemed very serious.
We have time for one more question. I believe Father Reese.
Tom Reese from Religion News Service. Question for Bishop Barron. As you know, before there was a catechism, before there was a printing press, before there was general literacy, people were catechized by the bishop. He would call the people to the cathedral every day during Lent, and he would explain to them the scripture readings that were used during Lent. That was the original catechism of the Catholic Church. I didn't hear much about the Bible in terms of catechesis. And I'm wondering about that, especially since we know that half of the people who leave the church, according to the Pew study, become Protestants. And one of the main reasons they give is because they learned about the Bible from the Protestants. They didn't learn about it from us, despite the fact that we have the best scripture scholars in the world. So when I hear this talk about catechesis, does that mean the catechism of the Catholic Church watered down for everyday people, or is there a new way of catechizing people that is going to communicate to people in the 21st century?
Yeah, it's a remark that suggests a lot of things in my mind. I mean, one is I've always loved the image of Augustine sitting down with the Bible on his lap, teaching his own priests. And I've talked a lot about that in my region even, with the priests that that work with me. And I think we've had days of prayer with that focus, where I'm there as the bishop teaching from the scripture. My talk today was mostly about evangelization, which is a different thing than catechesis. And I'm especially talking about evangelizing the unaffiliated. So for a lot of them, you're a long way from the Bible. The Bible is a book of old myths, and it's tired old Bronze Age mythology. So you often can't begin with the Bible, it seems to me. Now, all five of those paths, maybe not the new media, but the other ones are all inspired by the Bible, certainly. They're coming up out of the soul of theology, I would say. But I tend, you know, not to begin with the Bible, with those who are really unaffiliated. Now, having drawn them in, yes, indeed. I mean, I'm a great advocate of the biblical renewal called for by Vatican II, I think still largely unrealized. One of the four or five major unrealized ideals of Vatican II is that. So I'm with you completely. And if we're talking about catechesis and a renewal of catechesis, yep, I want the Bible absolutely central to that. But getting the unaffiliated can be a trickier business, I think, and we have to use maybe more indirect methods.
Okay, I'm going to take one more question. Greg?
This is for Archbishop Naumann. This movement that you're suggesting for the coming year for moms, and I'm just wondering if when you were listening to Bishop Barron, if you saw perhaps a convergence here where this notion of social justice and pro-life can come together in something like this. Often social justice is pitted sometimes in people's minds against pro-life, against social justice. This seems like a great convergence, but I was just wondering if you or your committee have been thinking through that as this initiative as being a social justice initiative.
Yes, thanks. You're absolutely right. You know, there's a great synergy, I think, between the presentations today, particularly on Bishop Barron's emphasis on engaging people in social justice. And our principle on the dignity of the human person and the sacredness of life is part of it's a foundational principle of our social justice. So, and engaging people, I think, in ways that they can really walk alongside of mothers with difficult pregnancies. We're going to, I know we're at the end of our time, but I will be available tomorrow. Kat is here, and if anybody's interested, we will have some of the care providers that are directly working in this area, as well as some of the individuals that have been assisted. So it may be more interesting than just talking to me or interviewing me, but if you want more on this project, we'll be able to do it then. Thanks for the question.
Well, thank you, Your Excellencies, for your time this afternoon. This concludes the press briefings for today, Monday, November 11th. We will have our next briefing after the conclusion of the morning.